Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, guys. It's Watt Harris here on the Panther Rants podcast. Happy Thursday to you guys. Weekend is almost here. For some of us, it's almost payday. But then, of course, your rent's due or whatever else is due. So much for that, right? Anyways, guys, not a whole lot going on in the realm of Pitt, athletics. Hoops, they dropped another one to Clemson last night. They came out flat. They came out flat pretty much, and they were down pretty big at one point, and they battled back. But you know, they lost by 14. So I'm not sure what the spread of that game was, but. If it was single digits, I hope you took Clemson. But I'm sure the way Vegas goes, everybody probably took Pitt, because that's how it always goes with betting, is everybody takes, you know, that team that you think's going to obviously win, but it turns in Vegas. Well, it usually sometimes goes another way. That's why sometimes you got to go against when you gamble, you gotta go against the public opinion sometimes, and just go the other way, because you know, if everybody's, a lot of times if everybody's betting heavily on that one, it's best to flip to the other one, because something's probably gonna happen. And that's how it always goes in the NFL. Playing my buddies who gamble, and NFL is probably one of the most frustrating sports to gamble on, because you just don't know what exactly the script writers got going for that game. Could be a lot of things. But last night, the Pitt had the light show for the students, you know, with all those lights, all that, you know, happy stuff. All that was missing from that was probably some Percocets and some Lords of Acid music, you know, pretend like you're at a rave, you know, some glow sticks, disco balls, strobe lights, all that shit. Pitt football landed a transfer. Naki Griffin-Stewart is his name. All I know is I kept getting his name all mixed up. I thought it was Stewart Griffin, and of course when I try to Google him, get some information on him, I get freaking Family Guy freaking links. Because I think I'm trying to Google Stewie Griffin. So, he's a tight end. He statistically, he really didn't do a whole lot of Rutgers. I mean, like 10 catches total. He played under Chris Ash. And, you know, well, for one thing, he played under Chris Ash. And for one thing. Second, he played for Rutgers. So, basically, there could be a lot more that meets the eye with this guy. You know, recruiting wise, he was one of the I think he was like top 25 in the tight ends of the nation. His, you know, stats weren't bad for a tight end in high school. But obviously didn't transcend into college too much. But again, he played for Rutgers, he played for Chris Ash. So we really don't know exactly what we have. Because, you know, Rutgers is basically a shithole for the most part in lots of its phases. Yeah, it's amazing how far they've fallen since the Shiano era. I mean, they got into the Big Ten and they pound their chests. You know, good for them. Because, you know, at one time we wanted the Big Ten. Now, I mean, that was incessant pissing matches all the time on message boards about conference expansion, because there was a somebody posted a rumor that Pitt was going to be in the Big Ten, or they're going to extend the offer. Turned out to be fake news. Then Rutgers all of a sudden catapulted to the top of the list, supposedly, and obviously the selling point there was is they have the New York market. I mean, if you want the whole Northeast, grab UConn. And there you go. That's all the Big Ten really needed to do is just grab them. And they have the whole Northeast. Or at least, you know, the New York all the way up. But, yeah, they settled on Rutgers. And Rutgers got the pound on their chest. And, oh, we're in the Big Ten. Then, of course, now they're just a mouth to feed because, really, they don't do a whole much else. Their basketball, for the most part, has been mediocre. It was mediocre in the Big East. It seemed like Mike Rice was going to get them to a more respectable thing. Then Mike obviously had to, get himself in some trouble. You know, he cursed some players and supposedly put his hands on a few. And it's basically because he had a guy working for him by the name of Eric Murdoch who played in the Big East for Providence at one time. And basically I think Murdoch was from the previous staff and Rice kept him. But then Rice decided he was going to cut his job and bring somebody else in. So Murdoch decided to he decided to snitch on his coach. I mean, this stuff obviously was going on in his practices. Nobody really said anything about it, ever. But then the moment he lost his job, he decided to blow the whistle. I'm not sure if Eric Merck has ever found any gainful employment in any type of college basketball since. I have to look, but I haven't really heard anything from him. And I know for a while, he couldn't find work. I mean, well, for one thing, you obviously didn't say anything about it when it was happening for as long as it did. And then you lose your job and you decide to blow the whistle. So that's pretty much a double-edged sword there because if you're letting it go on and not say anything, well, and it comes out, it makes you look bad. But then it makes you look worse when you have... when you decide your job gets cut and you decide to, you know, finally open your mouth. No one's going to hire you after that. Because one thing, you turn a blind eye, then of course, now you're petty. And nobody wants that in that type of attitude in their staff or in their team. Nobody. But as far as Mike Rice goes, he really hasn't found any, I don't think he's really found any employment either. Since that happened, it's a shame because he's not a bad coach. I mean, he did pretty good at Robert Morris, and probably should have stayed there. That's the thing with like a lot of college coaches is they look for the next big thing, and a lot of times they're better off where they're at. That's why you see a lot of coaches stay at their mid majors because they're better off. I mean, for me, I don't know if I'm Mike Rice and if a Rutgers job comes by. I don't know if I want to leave Robert Morris for Rutgers. I know Robert Morris is the NEC. You know, I know they're the NEC conference, whatever they call themselves. True. And I just don't know if I would go take a Rutgers job for basketball. I mean, it's just not... I mean, for me, they'd have to pay me really a good and give me a really good buyout for me to even take that job. And it shouldn't be that hard to recruit it. Because you're in New Jersey, you're in a good space. But basically, you're going to need a really good staff around you to actually build a program. And bring kids in and convince them to say, hey, you know what, come play at the Rack. Come play for Rutgers. because the kids, they can go anywhere. They can go anywhere in the Atlantic 10. They can go play for, they can go play at Seton Hall, for God's sakes. They can go to Providence. They can go anywhere in that area. They don't have to go to Rutgers. But anyways, I'm going off key. I went from, you know, Griffin Stewart to all the way to, you know, basketball. You know, speaking of that, obviously, you know, as far as the, I was taking, you know, a little look at the conferences, and I'm not sure who stands out as far as the tournament goes this year. I was hoping for, I was thinking the Big Ten may be a conference to reckon with this year. Penn State's pulling off some big wins against some of these guys now, and Pat Chambers is horrible, but he's beating these guys. So I don't know, you know, about that. I was pretty high on Syracuse, but, you know, Boeheim got into an unfortunate incident where he ran somebody over. I believe it was accidental. And I guess he's recovered, but I'm not sure, you know, how that plays on his psyche after that. And not to mention, Syracuse has to make the tournament first. Now, TCU lost to West Virginia 3 overtimes, and Jamie Dixon did a blow-by handshake, and that was caught on, you know, on camera. And I guess he was, I mean, yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off if you're losing triple overtimes in Morgantown. That's not a fun thing. I mean, the guys lost 5 players since the beginning of the season, 4 are transferring. Yeah, 4 of them, all 4 are, you know, the 4 are transferring, got hurt for the year, and they're just leaving. So, I'm not sure what's going on in, you know, in Dixon land, but there's that. As far as other things going on in college football, well, Alex Hornibrook is, he's transferring as well. He graduated and he's going to go somewhere else. And I made the tweet that said patch signal pending, because Alex Hornibrook transferring and us recruiting him to come to Pitt and landing him would be the most Pat Narduzzi thing ever. Right? Because we just love grad transfer quarterbacks. And as far as Hornibrook goes, I don't know. I mean, if Paul Chris can't get the most out of your abilities, then chances are nobody else is going to. I'm not even sure what the hell his abilities are anymore. I mean, I've watched him play, and they get supposedly, if I remember correctly, last year before the season began, or no, this past season before it began, people said he was one of the guys to watch. And I'm like, really? That guy? That guy's the player of the watch? I was like, because he hasn't gone any better since he started playing in college. And, you know, I mean, Wisconsin's had, you know, some talented teams these past 2 years. It's their quarterback play that's held them back, and I mean, look at Chad Wojtek, for instance. I mean, Paul Chris got the most out of him. And then when Paul Chris left, we never heard from Wojtek again. And he transferred to Arkansas State. And he couldn't find a starting job there either. But the fact that Paul Chris got whatever he could out of him was amazing. But he couldn't get anything out of Hornibrook. I mean, the guy, for most part, was just a mediocre college quarterback. I mean, he's pretty much, you know, a game manager, you know, for the most part. So, I'm not sure where he ends up, if anywhere at all. But I'm sure Pat Narduzzi is drooling and licking his lips at this development. Let's hope not. All right, so Robert Kraft, as we all know, last week got himself in some hot water. you know, or a hot shower, whatever you want to, you know, say it. You know, he's basically been indicted for, I guess, for soliciting prostitution. And that's really all you can really get him on. I know people are going the human trafficking angle, but I don't really think he's in there to get him on that. I think it's more on the business itself. But, you know, I read the whole thing. We're supposing the video. He meets the girl and hugs her, and they hug again before, you know, she gives him his, his massage, I guess you can say. So, I don't know. Maybe she's being cordial. Maybe he's been there a bunch of times before. I mean, I just find it odd that a guy that's a millionaire has to go to one of those seedy places just to get action. I mean, the guy is a billionaire. He could probably find himself a woman to, that can do all that without having to go to those places. I mean, I'm sure he can't go into a bar and just roll up and say, "Hey, I'm a billionaire. I want to get laid all the time. I'll pay you. You know, let me know what you think." He can't do that, obviously, because that's just a horrible idea. And your success rate of who bites that bait doesn't work. I mean, he could go to a strip club and, you know, buy some lap dances, buy a champagne room with one, and, you know, have a casual conversation with one and explain, you know, what he wants, and, you know, and chances are some of them would do it. Actually, a lot of them would. You know, for some, it'd be their meal ticket out of the business. You know, they can get, like, you know, a hefty paycheck. He could have done that. I mean, of course, he lives with the issue of being seen in a strip club. So he probably has to have his handlers do it, which is probably what he should have did. Say, "Hey, you know what? I need you to go to a strip club, talk to a bunch of strippers, give that proposition, see what they say." I mean, he doesn't have to say that he's a billionaire. He could just say, "Hey, you know, I have a colleague and he wants this, and he's wondering if somebody can, you know." Because, you know, if you say you're a billionaire, then, you know, for one thing, the stripper probably thinks it's a big Ponzi scheme. But, you know, I know people are going to say, "Well, you know, he did all this," but at the end of the day, he's still got his 6 rings, he's got his $1 billion. I'm not sure what it's going to cost him to get out of this one, though. I'm sure it's not going to be $1 billion, though. I'm sure he'll be fine. It's just, hire a good PR guy and, you know, and say, "Hey, you know what, he made a bad decision, he's, you know, he's dealing with a lot of grief since his wife passed, he's lonely, and, you know, this is, it made him make him a bad decision." That's all he's got to do, is play that kind of role. And people will buy it, because they always do. Like Jussie Smollett, for instance. You know, the more he tries to lie, the more they dig. And supposedly now they found the check, I guess, he wrote, you know, to his, to his actors who were trying to portray himself as Trump supporters. Now Jussie's saying he has a drug issue, and, you know, that's always the big, that's the Mel Gibson defense. That's what you do. You blame on the drugs and the alcohol, and it makes these bad decisions. That's what, you know, Mel Gibson did. Mel Gibson used that defense when he was, doing all the anti-Semitic stuff, where he was blaming the, you know, when he got pulled over and blamed it on the Jewish conspiracies and whatnot, he blamed it on the alcohol. And of course, he gets into that big phone call with his ex-wife, and you all know what happened there. Where basically a bunch of racial slurs were made, and it turns out he came out smelling like a rose on that one, because she tried to not extort, but get more money out of him than he originally offered. And it turns out she got a lot less than he was offering. in terms of alimony. She wanted more alimony, and basically she took him to court for it. And I guess what he offered was actually really good, was really good. She wanted more, and then the judge looked at it and said, well, you're getting less for this reason. And I forget why. I think she wasn't working, for one thing. Or she was. Something like that. It was something weird. But basically, she was trying to get as much money out as she could. And, well, she ended up with less. It's like placing that $300 bet. And then your horse is like a 1-2, and you end up with $150 instead of $300, and you wonder why. To this day, I still don't know who places those bets. Maybe there's some reason they do it, and I have no idea why. Maybe some kind of light meal on that part of it. Don't know. Like, I know, like, the Tyson Douglas thing, it was a 42-1 was the odds. And some people were banging Tyson the 1-42 for whatever reason. I have no idea whatsoever. That's one thing when you pocket your money and be done with it. All right, so to cap us all off, we got the... Well, there's a Pittsburgh local meal war brewing, as you've all seen the last few days. Colin Dunlap and Mark Madden are going at it again. And, last time, I remember I tweeted 2 days ago about this, where I said, last time these two had a spat, they took a selfie together. And, I said, it's not that serious. It's just some WWE promo shit they always do with each other. It builds up all kind of, stuff for them. Ratings, whatnot. See what people want to say. Well, I'm not sure if this is the case anymore as time has progressed. According to Mark Madden, last time they had this spat, he said that Colin Dunlap sought him out at the WWE event took the selfie with them. I mean, nobody really put a gun to Mark Madden's head and make him take a photo of Colin Dunlap, let alone, acknowledge his presence. All Mark had to do was tell him to go fuck off. That's really all I had to do. I mean, when Colin says, hey, buddy, how's it going? Yeah, fuck you, dude. Leave me alone. That's all I had to do. No selfie, no nothing. So... this time around, it's a little different. I don't know what the hell happened, but they've been going back and forth over everything, over his crap, and I guess some things went over the edge, and I guess Dunlap made a mention to Mark Mann about Mark has is his radio show. I got my wife and my kids, and I have a happy job. Basically, Matt, Dunlap took a shot at Matt because he's, as old as he is, he's single and has no kids and has no wife. Which, I don't know, why that is with Matt. Maybe he chooses to be single. I mean, I don't know. We all have our own battles, personal battles we all deal with. There could be reasons for that. Why he doesn't have a family. Maybe it's by choice. Maybe it's because he's been big all of his life and, his esteem levels isn't that good where he, doesn't think he can land a partner of the opposite sex or same sex, whatever his preference really is. I'm not saying that he is that, but maybe he is. Who knows? Or maybe he just, he likes doing his own thing and chooses not to be married. Like, there's a lot of guys like that. A lot of females like that too. Or they're stuck in their own ways, and they don't want to change. They love what they love. And they love what they want to do. You got people like that. Or maybe men's standards are high. Maybe he wants the hot stripper chick, and he's not going to settle for, you know, he wants the Lamborghini, but he doesn't want to settle for the station wagon for the most part. You know, all I can afford is the station wagon because the payment, the car payment's affordable. But God damn it, he wants that Lamborghini. You know, it's a lot of things there. So, of course, he took a shot at Matt. And, of course, Matt says, oh, a lot of listeners are single and, you know, at this age and taking a shot at my listeners. I don't think that's going to hurt the listeners any at all. But I don't think, you know, Dunlap meant it like that, but it came across like that. So, of course, Matt went back and forth, went after him. And, of course, Matt's followers went after Dunlap, but pretty much said Dunlap was using his daughter's illness to promote himself. Which is kind of, you know, I mean, this has been happening for months now. Last several months. I mean, it's gone worse every other month with you know, Dunlap and his daughter's illness. And because they say, oh, you know, he's made, you know, he talks about his daughter's illness all the time. And, you know, and he makes about himself than anything else. You know, I have three kids myself. And I know a lot of you guys probably have kids as well. Or, you know, or for those who don't, hell, you got pets too. Pets get sick too. And, or you got siblings, you got other family members that have kids. You see it. You got friends that have kids. It's a lot of stuff. You know, in the case of Dunlap, I mean, my kids right now haven't been hit with this, what his kids been hit with, and for God's sakes, I hope that never comes ever. I mean, my oldest kid, I mean, he has a bracket on his mouth because one of his teeth won't come out. So, there's this thing that they have they had to cut his gum and actually put something, attach something to that tooth to bring it up. Otherwise, they may have to do surgery on him and get that tooth out and reshape his jaw. I mean, to be honest with you, in life, in terms of illnesses and whatnot, I hope that's all he ever has to deal with is that. I mean, I hate it pisses me off that he has to deal with that. And he, you know, my kid's been a good sport about it. Mainly because, you know, he said he likes the brackets because he said he didn't like his teeth crooked. He likes to smile now because of it. You know, because he said, you know, because that tooth wouldn't come up, he hated smiling. So, you know, if that makes, you know, so for me, you know, when I was a kid, I hated braces. They sucked. I mean, they hurt. And nobody likes a mouth full of metal. But hey, you know what? If it brightened my kid, my son's day and made him smile, then heavens forbid. By all means, let him do it. Let's do it. But I mean, if that's all he ever has to deal with in his life, then hey, I'll take that any day. But there's a lot of people that don't. I mean, I have a friend whose kid, you know, his firstborn was born Down syndrome. And, you know, the way things are now, there's a lot of resources where these kids with Down syndrome, they can live lives like any kid lives now. Where they don't have to be treated as some sort of special, you know, as a, you know, special. I'm sure I'm quoting Thomas the Train here. But I'm, you know, for one thing, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm not going to, you know, tell Colin Dunlap how he should deal with his daughter's illness. You know, he says he's using his daughter's platform to promote awareness, raise money. I don't think he's using it for personal gain because he's still working the same job. It's not like he's national. He's working a local job at some 93.7 The Fan. I mean, he's not up there. So I don't really see him using it for Twitter likes and whatnot. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, I understand people get annoyed by stuff like this where they use, you know, they use, you know, or do stuff for likes on Twitter, or they write stuff for it, or they have personal opinions and tweets, you know, to gain more followers and gain more attention. And we see a lot of that where the, you know, where the people themselves really aren't authentic anymore. They just do stuff to get attention. And to, you know, the gain the attention. Where you know for a fact that, hey, that's not really them at all. Right? And it happens. I mean, I've seen that with some, you know, being people where, you know, you knew who they were before they got big on Twitter. But then when they get big, they just, they lose what they were. And you can't really, you can't really follow them anymore or take them seriously anymore. And you got people who do stuff, you know basically you feel like you're, you know, they're patting themselves, they're patting themselves on the back. And it's stuff that people do every day, pretty much. It's like, you know, for instance, you know, well, I went to the grocery store today and, you know, Delay has to bag the groceries while she rings them up. But you know what? I bagged the groceries while she rang them up, so she wouldn't have to do that. It's some shit like that. I mean, it's just little shit like that. I mean, for me, you know, when I see a cashier dealing with that, when they don't have a bagger, as she rings them up, usually I'll bag them myself because I've bagged groceries before. Everybody freaking is bagged groceries. It's no big deal. I mean, but we're talking Dunlap raising money for cancer. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, so I don't mind him talking about that stuff. But there's people, even, you know, I guess I suppose it can be who battle cancer who thinks that, you know, Dunlap's a fraud. And I'm not sure if, reading the guy's timeline, I think his issue's more with Dunlap than the fact that Dunlap's daughter's sick and her illness. I think his issue's more with Dunlap than anything else. But at the end of the day, I'm sure these guys will take another stupid selfie together and say, oh, you know, we may disagree, but, you know, here we are, we're friends. At the end of the day, this is what we do. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the battle on Twitter. And, you know, we'll see you guys in a few months when we fight again. That's how it always goes, you guys, with them. These type of things are always temporary. You know, I doubt it gets any more. If it does, I mean, if there's more, you know, quote unquote, tea to be spilled, I'm sure we'll see it. We'll see more fun things out of it. Oh well. 30 minutes, you guys. I'll let you go. Have a good weekend. Hell to Pit. Bye.